Okay.
So, is this working? Yeah.
Okay, so we're starting in the eighth parak in Gittin. Hazorek Get. So, the topic is basically the Maisa of the Nesinas HaGet. That's what we're starting out with, at least. Okay. And it takes into this topic is going to be included kinyanim in general. So and we'll take some diversions into shlichus. So that's really where we're headed over here. But of course, it's through the lens of Gittin, essentially where we're focusing our attention. So, so what do we know about Gittin? Anybody here? Anybody? All right. So the get is it's a shtar, right? And the seven prakim that we missed in the Masechta, but it's a shtar of krisis, right? Get, the word get itself just means shtar. That's why there's a parak in the end above Vasra called get pashut. Just means a document. But it's really a get of, it's a document of krisis. So, for divorce. So it's a get of krisis, and it's written for the woman, for the lishma, right? With the intention for divorce. And what makes it effective? What effectuates the divorce is the nesina. Okay, so we're focusing here in this mishnah is focusing on the various ways that the nesina can be accomplished. Okay, so the parshan key is in the kiseitze. Ki gach ish isha of Allah, so he marries, he takes a woman and he becomes her husband. V'haya im lo simsochein be'enav. Okay, that's talking about the grounds for divorce. But v'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyoda. So he writes for her, right? That's lishma, a sefer krisus. It has to be written. It has to be a written document, right? Now there are different ways to get married, right? He's kesef shtar bia, but for krisus for the divorce, it's dafka sefer. V'nosan biyodo. Aside for his death, obviously. V'nosan biyodo. And he puts it in her hand. V'shilcho mi beso. And he sends her from his house. Okay. Yeah. And then, interesting, Torah goes on. V'yotza mi beso v'holcho v'yosa li'ish acher. She gets married to someone else. U'sineya. So it's repeated. Okay, fine. So that's repeated. That what? She goes out from the first husband, marries another man, and then if he dislikes her and writes her a sefer krisis, or if he dies, okay. Then interesting, the Torah says Lo yuchal ba'al lo harishon asher shilcho lo shav lekachta. The original husband can't take her back. Lo li'isha acharei asher hutama ki so eva hi lifnei Hashem. Funny, right? V'lo sachti asar asher Hashem lekecha nosin lecho nachala. So just a side point over here. What's the halacha? It's interesting halacha. Now, what if a man and a woman are married, and then they divorce, and the woman finds another man, and they divorce, or he dies, the first Baal can't take her back. If he divorced her, he could remarry her. That wouldn't be a problem. Before she marries someone else. But if she marries someone else in the interim, then he can't marry her. Why is that? I mean, and the Torah describes it as a terrible thing. Ki to eva lefi lefnei Hashem.
Huh? But if she got divorced from him for a reason.
As a matter of fact, when we write a get for a Kohen, there's a special get that they write for a Kohen. It's Mekushar. I don't know if they do it now, but it's called a get Mekushar. And they would write it in a very long, they would have like an extended process. They would have to write a line, then fold it, and then write a line and fold it. It was intentionally designed to be a long process of writing the get. Because if a Kohen gets divorced, he can't simply remarry his wife. She's a negrusha. So they give the opportunity for the guy to change his mind before he goes through with it. So it's not uncommon for people to come to blows, so to speak, and decide they want to get divorced, and then later they get back together. That's not uncommon. So why is it such a toeva if somebody else married her in between? So the Mefarshim say, because it's if this were allowed, it would open up the possibility of like what they call wife swapping. That you could just say, look, we're married, we'll get divorced, we'll each divorce our wives, swap, and get remarried back to our wives again.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's Toeva. So in other words, the whole institution of Kiddushin is to have a certain, is to prevent these kinds of base type of behavior. But, so it's interesting. Halachically speaking, it's a technical halacha. You can't take back your grusha if she married someone else. You can define it. Shulchan Aruch can define it in terms of halacha.
But there's nothing to prevent you from...
But hold on. But philosophically speaking, its purpose is to prevent a certain violation of the philosophy of Kiddushin itself. So it's to prevent a violation of the... of the stability of a family and the idea of not running after taiva and having and all the ideas that that marriage should bring. So it's a very interesting. I mean, to me, it's just a fascinating case of how there's the halachic definition. It has nothing to do with the flood. There's a halachic definition, but and you can learn it, you can define it, you can study it, you can have all types of. Shiram on the halachas of that, but there's behind it is a purpose, and when you see that, it puts everything sort of falls into and makes sense. Like it's like a svara, it's like a behind the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the Torah closed that loophole. Okay. All right. So let's start the Mishnah. Hazorik, go ahead. Okay, so if a man throws a get to his wife, yeah, and she's inside her own house, or inside of her own yard, yeah, then she is divorced. Okay, let's see Rashi.
Hazori get vihi besof besa, shall nichze maluk.
Okay, so first of all, Rashi says it's the case is nichse malug. Yeah, why? What's nichse malug?
He's explaining why, how it's hers.
How is it hers? So, what type of property does a woman have, or what type of property does a married woman have?
So, either something that wasn't included in the ksuba, or that the husband didn't want to take upon himself.
So let's just deal with things that, yeah. So there's two types of property, right? There's nichtzei tzon barzel and there's nichtzei malug, right? What's the difference between the two? I mean, Rashi's only saying nichtzei malug. Apparently, nichtzei tzon barzel wouldn't be good over here.
Nichtzei tzon barzel becomes the husband's
good
marriage, and then afterwards goes back there. But.
Okay, so nichtzei tzon barzel, he guarantees their value. She brings him into the marriage. And he guarantees the value when the marriage is over, either by divorce or his death. So if it's brought in with an evaluation of a certain amount of money, the property is brought in with an evaluation, and he guarantees that he's going to give her back the property at that value. So whatever, if it goes up in value, he gets the profit on that. If it goes down in value, he suffers that loss. But basically... it's like it's his, like Rafi's saying. It's sort of like he he takes it as his, and he guarantees their return. He guarantees the return of the original value, but they're considered his. So, but nichse mulug is different. That's, by the way, they're called son barzel. It means they're like an iron sheep. Like he's got to return it the way it came in. It's like an unchanging, fixed, guaranteed asset. Okay. So, but nichse mulug doesn't guarantee the value. He gets to use it. So he gets to use it on the barzel, obviously. He gets to use nichsei mulug, and if they go up, they go up. They go down. But they stay in her rishus in that sense. He doesn't get to. You don't fix a value that they. You don't set the value they came in at, and then he just takes it and has to promise to give back that value at the end. They're always hers. He gets to use it. He gets to have the payros from the properties. But they stay in her rishus in the sense that however they go up or down, that's on her account, and she could leave with them being worth more than she came in or less than they came in. He has no responsibility. He has no achrayas on their value. Nichsei son barzel takes an achrayas on the value. So when you take an achrayas on the value, it's like it's similar to the idea of purchasing it and guaranteeing that you'll sell it back at the same price. But nichsei mulug is different. He just gets to use it and sort of like a caretaker of it, and he gets the benefits of it, but he's not taking any achrayas on what they're going to be worth. Okay, so we're limited to that, to the case of nichsei mulug. So she has a field of nichsei mulug, or a house of nichsei mulug, and what? And he threw it to her on the ground. All right. So harezu migureshes. Go ahead.
The kansala chatra ki'ilu nitnu biyada kin mefarish begmara.
Okay. So here's what's interesting. And this is what we have to keep in mind all the whole time. The Torah says v'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyada. Okay. V'nosan biyada. So how is it good? So Rashi says, "Dikonsol lo chatzera." Her chatzer is kona. So what does that mean? It means that when we say v'nosan biyada, what does it really mean? Essentially, essentially necessary for the gittin to be good? What is that a term for? For kinyan. Basically, we're getting down to the idea of kinyan. Right? V'nosan biyada doesn't just mean physically you place it in her hand. It's describing a kinyan that she has to make over the object. She must be kona, the shtar of the get. Okay, hold on. And so how is she kona this shtar? So that's what the Gemara is going to explain. She's kona the konso lo chatzera. Her chatzer is kona for her, equal to as if he actually put it in her hand. In other words, if putting it in her hand means literally that there's a gzeiras hakasav, in order to be divorced, this physical action must occur. This document must wind up in her hand, and that's it. It's its own special, separate din. It has no connection to any idea of kinyan or anything like that. Then you couldn't extrapolate from that to anything else. I mean, that would be like, let's say, by the Eved, you have to pierce his ear. So you can't say, well, if he has a field, you can drive a nail through the field because his ear is like a field. It doesn't make any sense. There's no. That's a special maisa. It itself is a unique maisa that's only defined on its own terms. It's not a type of something. It's not, you can't extrapolate his ear is like his whatever it is, but you can see already once we open up the possibility that the get, when the Torah says v'noson biyada, we open up this possibility that her field could qualify. It's obvious that we're now in a different realm. We're not. It's not just a ritual like a chalitza is the taking the shoe off of it. I mean, there's no substitute for those types of actions. That's like its own tzuras ha-mitzvah. Right? You can't take a tzuras ha-mitzvah that Maisa is the very essence of the Tzura, and then start substituting objects. It's not the Maisa. You understand? So the Maisa here of a Noson Biyoda is not a Tzura Samit, not a Maisa of a Tzura Samitzvah like an Atilas Lulav, and it's Noson Biyoda. And when you do this mitzvah, then you have this result. No. It's the get. The get is a shtar, right? The shtar conveys a certain information, and that's how a shtar works. When does a shtar work? When the person that it's written for acquires the shtar, they acquire the content of the shtar. They acquire the effectiveness of the shtar. That's what makes a shtar effective. The kinyan of the ba'al. A certain kinyan. So over here too, ultimately it has to come down to the realm of kinyan. Has to come down to the realm of kinyan. But it's more than just the realm of kinyan. There is something special in gittin. So that's what we have to keep that in mind the whole time. That on the one hand, it does partake of generalized kinyanim, and the Gemara sees fit to learn. You'll see general ideas about all kinyanim from these types of things. But at the same time, it's not just a kinyan. You can't say the opposite. You can't say, well, anything that would be a kinyan would be a good way to do a get. That's also not true. Well, I, it's hard to speak in the abstract about these things, but like, for instance, there's a kinyan. It must involve the nesina. Let's put it that way. It must involve a real nesina. Okay, if there was a way to be machna somebody without actually giving it to him, that wouldn't be good by get, because it says specifically v'nosan. But ultimately, we know that it's a way of making a kinyan. Okay, so therefore, since it is in the general category of kinyan, we can analyze it in a more abstract sense and open up the possibility that yoda doesn't dafka mean yoda like uzno would mean uzno by an eved. Okay, so, I mean, if you're already now thinking through all possibilities, that's good. All questions about kinyanim is good. And one of them is obviously the knowledge of the recipient. That's an important element. I mean, we'll see that you're right. In that sense, get is very different than other kinyanim. Get is very different than other kinyanim. In what sense, I mean? Did you get down to the bottom over there? What? Rafi? In other words, you can give a woman a get against her will. You can't give somebody a present against his will.
Right.
So it's not simply, it is a unique form, but it still is a unique form of kinyan. Ultimately, we say it becomes hers. And if it doesn't become hers, it's not effective. But she doesn't have to accept it for it to become hers. So we'll have to see. I have to keep that in mind. Yeah. In other words, it's not a bargain. It's not some kind of a bargain. It could be a transaction against her will, but it still is a transaction.
So that.
All right. It's a form of kinyan. That we can say for sure. Is it exactly the form of kinyan of Mekuch HaMemkar, or is it a different species of kinyan? That's something we'll have to explore. But ultimately, it has to meet up with the world of kinyanim in some way. Okay, let's go, Viter. So that's the first case. That is Besoch Besa or Besoch Chatzera. Harezu Migureshes. Okay, I mean, I'm just bringing up these ideas just so that you're in the realm of the discussion when we get started. In no way am I trying to make any conclusions about the specific nature of these cases. But you have to know where we are. You have to just know the map a little bit, some of the features that we're going to encounter. Go ahead. Otherwise, you won't recognize them at all. You might totally miss certain elements that we have to focus on. Go ahead.
Zarkula besoch beso o besoch chatzera.
So if he threw it into his house or into his chatzer, even if Afilu hu ima b'mita eina migreshes. What is that talking about? What's the who?
It's the other way around.
I got it wrong?
No, I'm saying you think it's the other way around.
The get. Who means the get?
Oh, who means the get?
Yeah, who means the get?
Oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he gets into bed with her and says, "Here's your get."
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, then what's the problem?
Wait, what?
Afilu hu ima bemita. In other words, if it's in the husband's house, even though they're on a, even though she's on a bed, and he puts the get in the bed that she is, it still is not a good get. Still is not a good divorce.
It's not zarko ala karka.
Even if it's not in the, even though it's not on the karka, he's giving you the extreme case of trying to connect her with this giving, but not be in her, in her rishus. So she's in his house, okay. Even if she's on a bed, that is, you know, that's, it's in his house, but she's on a bed and he puts it exactly with her in the same bed, it still is not a get because it's not hers. Okay, yeah.
If she had a pan,
in other words, what's the Mishnah telling you? That it's not a question of tziruf and connection and clarity, that it's really for her. You know what I mean? Because I can make it very clear that it's really for her, because I can be that I did a maisa that is, you know, clearly for her, and it's even joined with her in the same kli, but it's not that we're lacking clarity and direction and connection between her and the get. It actually requires kinyan. So it can be extremely clear that this is a maisa of giving, and it can be extremely clear that it's a maisa of giving to her, and I can do everything that in every sense of description would be state, that I could state I gave it to her. But if it's not her property, there's no kinyan. It'll be lacking the kinyan unless it's given to something that has, that's her rishus, so she can be kona through yada. Right? It's not a matter of, well, if I put it in my house, maybe I'm just holding it for another time. Maybe
it's like giving it to yourself.
Yeah, it's like giving it to yourself. Exactly right. Very close to your wife. Be very close to your wife, and you said, "Here," and you gave it, take it from your right hand and gave it to your left hand. Wouldn't be anything.
Even if it's another person, that's what I don't
But know. It's not to her. It's still to your property. She's on your bed, and you put it on your bed. So you basically gave it to yourself. There's no king into her. She was not. She never required it. If I wanted to give you my object, it wouldn't be a good way. You wouldn't be cone of the object if I gave it to you on my bed. I would, no matter how close you are to the
God
object.
Alone can't make it a king.
No, of course not. Of course not. I'll show you. I'll prove it to you. See this watch? I really want you to own this. Nothing. Nothing.
Bye-bye.
Not yours, sorry.
Wait a minute, though. So you just said you want him to own it in front of Eden.
Doesn't matter. There's no kinyan. I can want and want and want, but there has to be a halachic mechanism that transfers the rishus. There's no mechanism like that. Desire is a powerful thing, but it can't make halachic kinyan. Yeah, Rafi. In other words, the Reisha says it's good if it's besoch beso and besoch chatzera. Those are different levels of closeness to her. Now, think about it the way I was trying to explain it before. That the Mishnah sort of is trying to show you it has nothing to do with sort of joining this get with her. Okay? In like a conventional type of, in like a colloquial way of saying, I gave it to you. So you might say, in the house, in her house is like it's to her, but in her yard is a little more open spaces, so maybe that's not considered to her. So I don't know, house and yard, meaning to say it's because it's her property. Now, but don't think it's don't think her ownership is still not really kinyan, but that itself is a connection. Right? So then it goes to the other side saying, no. No matter, even if you made a maisa that was 100% clear that it is specifically to her, even if she's in the bed with it, that still is no good. Meaning everything comes down to kinyan. You know, it's a way of explaining that everything comes down to kinyan. On the positive side, it moves from a closer connection to a more tenuous connection. tries to show you it has to do with the fact that she owns the that it's on to an entity that she owns. But don't think that putting it somewhere that she owns is also just a way of connecting it to her. And that it's not because it's actually kinyan. It's just because it's clear that it's for her, since it's her property. No, because I'll show you, you can do something that is totally clear that it's for her. Put it in the bed with her. And that still won't be good. So you see, all what we're trying to describe is kinyan. And that the kinyan can occur through her property. You understand? Okay, so the Gemara says, how do you know this? How do you know that it's good to put it into her chatzer? How do you know it's good to put it in her chatzer? The Torah says, v'nosan biyada. Yeah. So how do you know it's good in her chatzer? I mean, it's true we're not literalists. Biyada does represent some idea of kinyan, but basically, how do you know that this kinyan could be accomplished through chatzer? That's not at all obvious. Okay. So let's see. So the Gemara says like this. Because the Pasuk says... Let's get back to the Pasuk. V'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo. Yeah. V'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo. Ein li ela yodo. So I only know that her hand is good. How do I know about her roof and her yard? And Karpif is like a bigger enclosure. How do I know that's good? Tamalom of a nosan mikol mokom. Not clear. Let's see Rashi. Machlokas and Rishonim about this, by the way. But let's take a look at Rashi first.
Tamalom of a nosan.
Okay, so Rashi tries to work out the shot. Vinosan. How do you get? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It says vinosan biyada, and then the Gemara says vinosan mikol mokom. I mean, but it says biyada. You can't just say no. It just means. Mikol makom means in any way, or any type of nesina. But it says, and the whole thing just doesn't make sense. How you would think, nosan biyadas, and only in her hand, because it says biyada, right? The Talmud Lomar v'nosan, but mikol makom, but you're just ignoring the word biyada. I mean, so why did you have the question in the first place? I mean, well, what just transpired over there? Like, I might think I should read that word, now I'm just going to ignore it. That doesn't make any sense.
So you're saying it should have been the other way around?
Something's missing here, I'm saying. Good. So Rashi says like this. He's saying, V'nosan mikom mokom. So he says, V'darshinan le ba'anpe nafshe. So he's telling you, they're doresh the word V'nosan alone. Somehow, they're darshining V'nosan without biyada. How? So he says like this. It's an interesting drasha. He's saying it's because of how it could have been written. It could have been written v'chosav lo sefer krisus ubiyoda yitnenu.
So how does yitnenu come out in terms of just?
And in her hand, he should place it.
Light up and see it.
Exactly. Ubiyoda yitnenu. Okay, let's just get the shot straight. It could have said, "Ubiyada yitnenu." He should put it in her hand. Okay, but it didn't. So it chose to say "Vinosan biyada" as opposed to "Ubiyada yitnenu." Okay, mashmalon nesina koldehu. Now let's put it this way. He's saying if it dafka meant her hand, then it would have said "Ubiyada." Yitnenu, making the yad an essence, and then the sina just like a qualifier. The chosav lo sefer krisus ubiyada. That's the ultimate kiyum of the sefer krisus biyada. And how is it biyada? Yitnenu. She can't pick it up. But essentially, the essence is biyada. Nesina is just the qualification of how it has to get to yada.
Because the pasuk makes the yad part the qualification.
Ah, but it says v'nosan, and you can read it without yad. Now let's put it this way: If it had it, v'chiyikach ish isha of all v'ayam lo sin sochem v'chosav lo sefer krisis ubiyada. That's like tying them together, saying there's nothing, there's no possibility of completing this this concept without the concept of yad. Okay. But if it's v'nosan, that's enough. You could have just stopped there. V'nosan, of course, it would be to her, right? V'nosan. You could understand it, you could read it that way, that the ikar is, he writes it for her, and there's a nesina. That's really all it means. The nesina is really all that we need, is his maisa nesina. Now what? So why does it say yada? The yada, the kosa rachmana, de ba'inan dum yada yada. So in other words, basically he's learning like this. That the chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan. That's the end of the story. Because nosan obviously means it gets to her. There's no such thing as nosan without getting to her. You can't give without somebody getting. So the word nosan already implies that she's getting it. Right? So why does it say yada? To tell you that there's a limited realm of things that would qualify as her getting it. Has to be a nesina to things like her hand. To things like her hand. In other words, the vinosan is really the ikar, and then the biyada is just qualifying things that will qualify as a nosan. So but once you say vinosan is really the essence, then it just means it has to get to her. But it has to get to her via something that is like her hand. What's like her hand? Something that she has some control over, something that she has some watch over. Okay? If she just owns a piece of property in the middle of the desert and there's no fence around it and there's no guard around it and there's no way of her knowing what goes in and out of it, that's not a rishus that's roi for nesina. It has to be dum yada. But if it said v'chosav lo sefer krisus ubi yada, the yad is really the essence, even before the mice of the nesina is mentioned, then we wouldn't be able to, then we'd have to say it's daf biyad. It's tough, Joshua. That's our Rashi learning. Very, very interesting. He's learning it's because it could have said it, putting the emphasis on yad, and it said it in a way that put the emphasis just on the nesina. That means to say that by choosing not to emphasize yad, that means yad is really just is just there for a limud of what type of a nesina. Something like a nesina to something like a yad. Take a look at Rabbeinu Chanan on the bottom. Last line. Minohani mili. Titanu rabbanan yoda. Ein li ele yoda. Gagar chatzer v'karpifa minayin. Talmud lomar v'nosan biyoda mikom makom. Pirish. Trey v'nosan biyoda ksuv. That's the way almost all the other Mishnah learn. That since it repeats it a second time, it's a riboy. Right? I mentioned that to you. That it says again that the usneya ha'isha ha'achron, the chos of lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyoda. So the other Rishonim, I think all the other Rishonim practically. It's interesting. It's an interesting type of machlokas. I don't really know how you define it. But the other Rishonim learn that they don't like Rashi's drasha of saying the psukim could have been ordered differently and therefore it means v'nosan. They say, no, straight up drasha, it's a riboy. It says v'nosan twice. Didn't have to say v'nosan twice. In other words, the way Rashi's learning is sometimes in act, sometimes the essence is the maisa, and it just needs something to qualify the maisa. That's v'nosan v'yada. The essence is the nesina, and you need something to qualify it. And sometimes the destination is the object, is the essence, and you just need to have a way of, but you have to have a specific way of getting there. So. I was a guy who hikes a mountain, so the summit is the essence. If he was dropped there by a helicopter, it wouldn't be hiking though. So, but the essence is the yacht. Then it would have been ubi yoda yinera.
What does that have to do with saying twice?
Why?
No, no, that's the machlokas. In other words, Rashi learns just from one pasuk, the fact that it said vinosan as opposed to ubiyada yitnenu. Rashi learns just.
Rabbi Yochanan was learning the same thing, but from the fact that it says it
exactly.
Twice.
He disagrees with Rashi's drasha. He says, no, you learn it just because it's repeated. The Ritva has both possibilities. It's slightly different. He says it's different between the word Psalm and the word Nesina. Okay, that's different. Yeah. Okay, now the Gemara is like this. Vitanya.
Vitanya nami hachi gabe gana.
Now we have the same brisa. There's also a brisa by a ganav. So that's what I show you. That's what I'm telling you right away from the beginning. Obviously, the very fact that the Gemara is comparing gittin to ganav shows you that it's not a pure gittin idea. Ganav has to do with kinyan. Mm-hmm. It's a kinyan of the ganav. Okay.
So in the ella yado.
So the same thing over there. What does it say? We should know the basic pasuk at least. Okay, so talking about the ganav in Shmos Chof Beis Paragimolim. He motze si motze viyado. Hageneva. So what the geneva is found in his hand. Okay. Mishor chamor ad zechayim shnayim mishalim. So he has to pay kefil. Okay, fine. So again, what? Yodo. So the Gemara, so the Braisa says, Ainli ela yodo. I know if I find it in his hand, he's a ganav. But what if I find it in Gago Chatzer of a Karpifo, Minayin? What does that mean? So let's say he took it in his hand, he threw it into his chatzer. What does that mean? He found it in his chatzer.
Well, the Ritva, he explains that.
Okay, good.
You're not going searching for it, do you?
It just ends up in your property and you somehow are... Like you tie up a camel that ends up in your property.
It means he steals it through his property. Right? It walks into his yard and he closes it up. Right? It means he does the geneva through his rishus. Okay? Doesn't have to do with where it winds up after he steals it. That's not what we're wondering about. That's obvious. Once the guy takes something with his hands, it doesn't matter if he puts it anywhere. He's going to be chayev kefa. He can hide it in the bogs. Rashi, but
Rashi has it neema.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So how do you know that it's theft, basically? How do you know it's a maisa geneva if it's not biyado? Taman lomer himotze si motze. That's a good mikol makom. I mean, that's a good mikol makom. Mm-hmm. Himotze si motze means you find it. You find it in any which way. Mm-hmm. That's a double lashon. That's a clear. You don't have to. There's no problems in that drasha. Okay, go ahead.
The tricha.
It's amazing gemara. The Gemara wants to know, why do you have to have these two psukim in the Torah? One telling you that a woman can acquire her get through her field, and the other one telling you that a ganav can be a ganav through his field. I mean, it shows you how clearly they viewed both of them ultimately in one realm. In one realm. Yeah. Hold on. Someone saying something?
Well, so...
Okay, go ahead, continue. Oh, by the way, you see in the Ritva, he says like this. Vitzricha. Go ahead, what do you got?
De'i ashma'inan get mishum debal korcha.
Okay, so you might think like this. You might say, it's a question on the brises. Why do you need two brises? Right? But it's not, because he says... Vitzricha di ashmo inan rachmona gabi get. He's learning very clearly that the Gemara is asking, why do you need two psukim in the Torah to tell you that yad means chatzer? And logically, if I for some reason I would be able to determine that if a woman can accept a get through her field, a ganav should be a ganav through his field. I mean, I'm just trying to show you how clear it is that the Maisa Kinyan essentially comes down to a Maisa Gittin essentially comes down to, at least it needs a Kinyan. Okay? It's certainly not only a Kinyan. But if it works, there must have been a kinyan.
Well, it's easier to see whether it's gone out.
That vinasan means she's getting it. Getting it doesn't just mean it's placed on her like a statue. It means that she received it and she was konet. So if the get works through her chatzer, it must be there's a kinyan through chatzer. So why do we need a pasuk to tell you that by yad that it's good by the gittin and another one by the ganav? Yeah. But let's just get the facts that we'll think about it tomorrow. Good.
So about ganav, delisei.
Wait, what was the first one?
De'iash me'inan get mishum debal korchach migersha.
So if he only taught me get, so I would say, why does it work? It only works because you can divorce a woman against her will. Klomar. Even if he put it in her hand, right? Al korchahi. Even if he put it in her hand against her will, she said, "I don't want that get. I absolutely refuse it." And he sticks it in her hand. Okay, it would still be good. Afilu hachi yomer achmana de tiskarish. So since I know that it works even against her will. For some reason, I would say, that's why chatzer works. In other words, I would say chatzer wouldn't work in a regular kinyan. For some reason, I would have a svara, and this is what we have to think about tomorrow. For some reason, I would have a svara that, why does chatzer work by gin? No, it has to do with the fact that the get can be done against her will. But any other kinyan, it wouldn't work. Okay. So that's why if it only taught me by get, I would say that it's only good because of Bal Korcha, of Alganov, Delese Bal Korche, Emalo. But there's no such thing as a Ganov Bal Korche, right? If I took somebody else's cow and threw it into your field and locked it up, you're not going to be Chayev as a Ganov. Right? So then, even if I stuck it in your hand and said, and you said, no, I'm not Kona, I'm not stealing. I said, no, take it. And I stick it in your hand. I wouldn't do anything. That wouldn't make you a ganav. So then I would say, Ema lo. Ema mi daita nami lo tikni le chatzer. Then I would say the whole kinyan chatzer doesn't work. Even when he wants to make a kinyan chatzer. How is the kinyan chatzer? Im lo moshach. Because if he pulls it, that's a kinyan yad, right? And if a guy grabs an animal, once he drags it, that's a kinyan yad. So what's the kinyan chatzer? I can go nichnas al chatzer over nol befanel. It walked in on its own. Lucky day. And now he locks the door, right? So that's why I would say if I only had get, I would never include any other kinyan, and certainly not a kinyan ganav. Okay, and if I had ganav. All right, let's think about this. And if I only had get, and if I only had ganav, I'd say that's because the Torah knas is. And what's the knas? Kefil. Right, knas always means you pay more than you deprive the guy from. Right, so you took his cow, you pay back a cow, but you pay back two, that's knas already.
That's why
King and
Chatzer works.
That's why King and Chatzer works.
Is that like
Bumazir
or something like that?
It's in, yeah.